We talk Star Wars.
No.
Queerly.
Yeah. I think it did a Hu Yang one last time and I didn't know what to say.
Yeah, it's probably good that it all is messed up anyways.
Oh my god, yeah.
Hello there, and welcome to Pink Milk, your Star Wars podcast. For us, super fans.
And those of us who are forced to listen to them.
Today is someday, and someday, girl, Hu Yang deserves better.
Hu Yang!
Are you ready, Thomas?
I'm ready.
Let's drink up.
Let's drink up.
Hello there.
Pop, pop. Hello there.
How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing mighty fine.
Ah, fantastic.
Driving my super Cooper. Crap. My super Cooper. My super duper Mini Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
You know I'm satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Hello there, and thank you for listening to Pink Milk. I'm your host, Brian. With me, as always, is my better half and your better host, Thomas.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, it's been a week, Tom. It's been a week, my friend.
It's been a week.
My boo.
And it's only a day or two in.
Yeah. We had a long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Salute to all but one former president.
That's funny.
We had a long weekend, and that weekend has been extended longer because we have a sick little one in another room.
We sure do.
He was like, "Ooh, I turned 10. Let's start getting some extra days in."
Well, you know, he's had a rough start to the school year anyway. He had so many little sicknesses. So we're just being extra cautious by keeping him in the domicile. Sorry, Principal Roar.
No, do you hear those blades?
Helicopter parents?
I feel like we're parent.
We are not. We're like, here's the keys. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Life's about experiences.
Put on a seatbelt.
If you want. No, just kidding. Nobody ever gets in the car without a seatbelt.
Oh.
Jack once. Just you know, once.
So we had an extended birthday. Happy mm-hmm. Valentine's Day to everyone who had a Valentine.
We had a Valentine's birthday.
We had a Valentine's birthday. Our Michael, Mr. Pickle, turned 10. Mm-hmm. The one who one day might show up for Michael's Mandalorian minute, but I don't know. I'm certainly not a helicopter parent, nor am I a dadager.
He's very busy.
And when he is ready to come on the podcast, he'll come on. And you all are welcome ahead of time because he's adorable. But last night we went on a birthday dinner. We always take our kids out for their birthday. Michael generally has to wait a little bit because, you know, it's Valentine's Day and we all know restaurants on Valentine's Day.
And in fairness, we asked him pretty much 3 nights in a row. Is tonight the night?
Yeah.
Nope, no, not tonight, Dad. I'm busy playing.
So we had a President's Day dinner mm-hmm. at the Red Lobster.
I love the Red Lobster.
I know.
Call me whatever, but so does my son. And it's always very funny. Because we're the only ones who go and eat the seafood, really shrimp. I don't even know if you want to call it seafood, but anyway.
I call it cockroaches at the sea. Mm-hmm,
pretty much. But the rest of you do not eat any seafood at all. But they have great cheddar biscuits. No, don't take me there. I don't want to know anything about it. Don't say anything about it because I love shrimp. Don't say anything.
No, I'm going to say that fast forward a few episodes of Ahsoka when we mm-hmm. get to the other galaxy, you're eating Ezra's little friends.
Oh, okay.
That's, I hope you feel shame, Tom.
I don't.
Okay. You know, the only reason I bring up Red Lobster is because I hope some of you out there listening can feel me when I say the Red Lobster should not have anything remotely encroaching the price tag of $50.
A plate.
However, our freshly 10-year-old kept gravitating towards lobster plates, which, you know, it's his birthday once a year. Normally he gets lobster. This year, Daddy tightened up his purse strings, was like, no, it is $46.99.
Oh, I'm glad you handled that part.
$50 for a plate at Red Lobster? Are you kidding me?
I mean, come on. Lobster is always expensive. They have gotten expensive.
I don't understand overall, how anything in the sea is affected by inflation. They float. They're already like inflated.
And they took away my salad. They wanted to charge me extra for my Caesar. Caesar salad.
$46.99 and no free salad?
Have people maybe think a little bit more of me. I have an affinity for Red Lobster because I used to work there in high school. Briefly.
Well, if anyone cares about the affinity I have towards it, when I heard no free lobster, no free salad and $50 lobster plate, you know how many baskets of cheddar biscuits I had? Like 17. More, please. I felt like wish I had a purse because I could have thrown them in my purse.
That girl would have given us anything.
She would have. She was great.
She was nice.
Okay. Well, you know, it was a great week, though. It was a great week. I can't believe our youngest is now 10 and we have no children in the single digits.
Holy cow. You old.
You're about to be single.
But you'll be single and old too.
No, we're gay. I think 53 is like super dad hotness level. You'll be out with some 22-year-old muscle stud going, this God. Is my daddy.
Yeah, but you know what? They're going to want to go out at like 9 o'clock at night and I'll be like, I've been sleeping for an hour.
And I'll be like out there trying to like pull my Seinfeld lady dance on those things.
The Elaine Seinfeld dance.
And they'll be like, you're 40. What? Yeah, you don't exist right now. You are in gay negative land. I'm 40, 3 kids. Look at me now. You want this, don't you? They'll be like, no, thank you.
Aw, honey. Well, the good news is you won't be single.
No.
And you'll have another Red Lobster in your future. Probably in a year when Michael would like it again.
Well, you know what, Thomas?
No, what?
Speaking of Red Lobster and the future of Star Wars, eating Ezra's new friends.
I don't remember that part, so it should be interesting when I see it again. Well, I don't think
we're going to be there yet.
No.
Still, shame. I mean, think about him. You are going to see this cute little character with a little slingshot going, pew, kind of like Ezra, which you wouldn't know that because you didn't really watch Rebels. But, my heart strings, and now you're about to eat him.
In usual fashion, even though I've seen the whole season before. Mm-hmm. I can't remember anything about it.
All right, Thomas, what do you say? You ready? Do you want to go watch this episode number 3?
Let's do it.
If I remember correctly, you should be thrilled. I believe episode 3 is the shortest of the season.
Oh, fantastic.
You are welcome.
Well, I guess we'll be back quicker then.
All right, let's drink up.
Drink up.
And
we're back.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Welcome
to everyone.
Back. All right, Thomas.
Yes, sir.
Let me start off this conversation with a question inspired by the title of this here episode.
Let's do it.
The title of the episode is Time to Fly. Did this episode take the time to fly by, being the shortest episode of the season?
Not really, no.
What?
Not really. I don't feel like it. I felt it was just the right amount. Good save.
Okay, Goldilocks. You know, I have to say, this was like the least amount of Star Wars I had ever seen. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. Unfortunately, I was in my 7-month break of not liking Star Wars anything because of jerks on the internet. Mm-hmm. But I'm back and I'm in love with Star Wars again. Well, not that I was ever not out of love with Star Wars.
I was going to say, come on, you never stop loving it.
I needed a little breaky break. And I really enjoyed the show, but I had only seen it that one time. Didn't even watch the episodes twice, which is very rare for me. But here we are. Mm-hmm. And I feel as though I remember looking back on this episode, feeling that it was a little bit boring on the first go round, which is funny because a lot of this episode is a dogfight. And it's still a slower episode, but let me tell you, I have learned from Star Wars television that the quiet episodes oftentimes have the greatest rewatchability.
I don't think that was the case in this one. Not for me personally.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I will say in watching this and in watching the last two episodes, thinking back to season three of The Mandalorian, which it also could have just not been good.
Right.
Very possible. Because it wasn't good.
No, it wasn't.
And after watching Stranger Things this summer,
which was really
good. With the whole family, which I've, like, we watched all three seasons in the span of, you know, a month and a half or something, right?
Which kind of makes it feel good in a way, because then you don't even remember what was good and what wasn't good. You just walk away with the whole feeling of, wow, that was really good. Yeah.
So I'm like, I almost feel like, I don't know the strategery behind the whole thing, and there has to be strategery. But I kind of feel like outside of season one, of The Mandalorian, Star Wars television might just benefit from binge watching. I think The Bad Batch could have benefited from binge watching. Andor had those like three episode clumps in a row. And honestly, it would have been great if we got three episodes and a month or two in between, and three episodes and a month or two in between. And this show, I feel like, look, truth, I don't remember all the details. I know the general paint strokes. I know what happens in the season. But in watching these three episodes 3 weeks in a row, I feel like it could benefit from a binge watch.
I'm going to go with you on that.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know exactly why. I don't think it's necessarily like a critique on the show itself, but I feel like maybe it's a critique on the way it's being released.
I don't really know, because I want to take back what I just responded. In the summer, I walked away going, wow, that was really, really good. And we were not binge watching it. And let me qualify. I love binge watching. I would rather do that. I don't want to waste my time once a week, once a week. I want to watch it when I want to watch it. But this, it's crawling a little bit for me. And today was not my favorite episode. In my head, I've broke it down to three things I really like, which I'll tell you when you tell me it's that time. And one thing that I thought was just, hokey. So,
okay.
Yeah, but it is not moving as fast for me this go round.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
because I'm really enjoying it.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not that I'm not enjoying it. I really am. But it's a little slow. So, I don't know.
Not as slow as waiting for it to come out once a week.
But we still are kind of watching it once a week, as if it were coming out once a week. However.
Interesting.
However. Yeah. Okay. Going forward. Little
but we've seen it before.
Yeah. Little sneak peek into the future of Pink Milk. But next week and the next few weeks, we're going to actually be doing two episodes in a row. Because.
Oh, God.
Keep your ears out and keep your eyeballs glued to your notification screens. If you're subscribed, we got some exciting things coming to Pink Milk.
That's
in March.
2 hours of TV. Not that we don't watch, but 2 hours of
but 2 hours of Star Wars TV.
Star
Brian.
Wars TV in a row. God, and you expect me to remember all that?
Okay. So, anyways, I did really enjoy this episode. I do think the thing's kind of crawling by, so it's just very interesting. I don't know why exactly, but we opened up with a training episode. This girl,
hokey,
loves a good Jedi Padawan training session. Love the blind fold down every single Padawan taught by anyone of any significance has to lower their blast shield. And the Padawan has to see, but I can't see anything without that. Your eyes deceive you. Don't trust them. Or in Ahsoka's case, and this is my performance of Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka. Say, I can't see anything.
I can't see anything.
Not with your eyes, but I want you to use your other senses.
Don't forget the hokey music. It literally pulled me out of the scene.
That's so crazy. Like, I think this music is
iconic. I know we've
iconic.
Had these training sessions in just about every Star Wars movie, episode, cartoon, whatever, animation. But the music really pulled me out.
I don't know.
Pulled me out.
I love the music.
I love the music. There is something pulling me out, though, which we'll get to at the end of this.
Okay.
Because I don't know about it. But I, you know, as I said at the top of the episode, Hu Yang deserves better.
Hu Yang.
Hu Yang is old as dirt. Oh. Old man, right? Okay. And I feel like Ahsoka is very dismissive of Hu Yang all the time. He gets shut down, like, not once, but twice, literally, in this episode. She shuts him down with training because he's like, she's not ready for that. And she's like, Ahsoka's like, yeah, droid. I'll tell you when she's ready and for what. I'm the Jedi here, not you. I know you have probably more experience teaching younglings than I do, but I'm Ahsoka, bitch.
Hu Yang.
I survived a lightsaber duel with Darth Vader. Where were you during that?
Hu Yang. Ahsoka.
But I really, like, honestly, Hu Yang deserves better. He deserves more. I really like him, and I feel that Ahsoka is not nice to him. Ahsoka, treat Hu Yang better.
Hu Yang.
But it really, it's interesting. And, you know, okay. So I can't help but think about droids, because also Chopper's getting shafted in this series, which is unfortunate because Chopper is amazing. One of my favorite droids ever. But I was thinking about artificial intelligence, right? Droids are artificially intelligent in the world of Star Wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Anakin and Luke Skywalker treated droids like people. Rey, to a point. Ahsoka did in the Clone Wars in the animated stuff, but she don't anymore. Hera did in Rebels, but she's not treating Chopper like a member of the family. She's treating him like a droid. And it's just very interesting. It's like Disney took over. Now everyone can speak droid. Everyone understands the boops and the whistles. No wonder they had nothing to do with C-3PO. C-3PO was only there to translate R2-D2 and eventually other aliens. So I don't understand. I really don't understand that choice by Disney. So I hope someone can explain it to me. But I like it. I like no one understanding droids. You need to protocol droid to say, hey, this is what they're saying. What are your thoughts? It just got me thinking about artificial intelligence. AI is all the conversation. It's all the rage. People are afraid of it. Thoughts?
Well, understandably so. However, I'm not afraid of it. I think it's going to bring more good than bad. I think that, sure, just like anything else in the world, it could get out of control. However, I think that, you know, we're working through it. I mean, there's a lot of great benefits that could possibly happen because of medical, my industry, real estate,
you know,
cars, creativity. Know what I mean? There's just a lot, you know, schools, everything. Mm-hmm. So it's just in its infancy. I think it's the same as when the internet first started. People were kind of
afraid of
it.
Right?
Yeah. You know, whatever it is, everybody's got something to say. however, it could. Yes, I could definitely see how it could go really wrong. I don't think it's going to. No. But hey, we'll see the next couple of years. Personally, I'm excited by what it will bring.
Do you think in our lifetime, could we have little droids running around our house on wheels, vacuuming? Give us a conversation. Do you think Alexa could start
vacuuming my house? No, probably not. But
nothing
cleaning my house? No, they'll never do it as good as me. But I don't really, in my lifetime, in your lifetime, I don't think so. Okay. Like, would you really?
I don't know.
Want like a artificial dog? Would you really want? No. Now, if we could get somebody to cook, that would be great.
An artificial chef.
An artificial chef. I am all over that.
I love eating.
No, I don't think so. Just so you know.
I love eating only with you. And now that we have boys, as far as the ritual is concerned. But I still stand by. I just wish that I could just be intravenously fed. And just like I didn't need to eat. Just put a bag in. Stick a tube. Do whatever. Maybe take a little lysine strip that just gave me all my nutrients and I could be on with my day.
And I like the whole thing. I like the thought of it, the planning of it, the drink of it, the food of it, the sitting of it, the bonding of it, the preparing of it. I don't want to do it all the time, though.
Yeah. I'm just not like a big, like, yay, let's go eat. I don't think I ever have been.
I love food. I love drink. I love it.
But yeah, so I don't know. I just got in the mistreatment of Hu Yang,
Ho Yang.
I've been like, I don't know. It made me think about our mistreatment and the misjudgment, in my opinion, of AI right now. So I don't know. I don't know. Okay. We need to now jump up to
my three things that I liked about the episode.
Now let's do it at the end.
Oh,
let's do
it at the end. Okay.
Yes. Let's do it at the end.
Because it's not important. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's so important. I want that to be the lingering thoughts on everyone's ears.
Ho Yang.
Okay. I have a bit of a criticism here.
Okay.
We get back to Hera. Mm-hmm. Love me, Hera. Love Hera. Still hate her red lips. But I love Hera. And I loved this scene because we got like bitch level Hera that I am here for. And she Traitor. Served that Senator Ziono, Kaz's dad. Mm-hmm. An idiot. Okay, but we get to see Mon Mothma. I love Mon Mothma. We already mentioned Andor once. She was so good.
We love her.
I love her. Mm-hmm. Love her.
You
so
interviewed
much.
Her, right?
I did.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Called her. I asked how it felt to be the gay icon of Star Wars.
What'd
and
she
giggled.
She's a very beautiful woman.
She is. She's very mm-hmm. she's like an actor's actor. She's a little boring.
She is?
Yeah. I mean, she was lovely. Lovely. Wow. But very no boring in like
ouch.
I this is my actually. No, it's a good thing. She's okay. an actor. She's it's her craft.
A thespian.
She's a thespian.
That sure,
you get the
make
girl a drink
boring.
And you know.
She takes her job seriously. Her craft.
No, I love it because you know I am on board.
Aren't you a thespian? A crafter?
I was.
Pod crafter.
And I take this very seriously. Okay.
Me too.
But I have a problem. Okay.
Okay.
We are already, the general audience is already confused with the timelines of Star Wars. With all these shows going on, they're all over the place in their timeline. When it takes place, people are just confused. I understand how the casual audience can get there. Like, straight up can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who is in charge of costuming and makeup on this show. I do think that they should maybe rethink some of the things they're doing because mm-hmm. I think those two things in the show are very not good. Or maybe they are great. Maybe it's the cinematographer. I don't know. I don't know enough about making film, but I can tell you that I know enough about being gay to know enough about hair that Mon Mothma post Return of the Jedi has short, very 80s old lady hair. And not gay enough to know what that's called. Mm-hmm. Just know it as 80s old lady hair.
A bob.
Maybe, but it looks more like a Q-tip.
Okay.
Q-tip hair.
Okay.
And yes, this is 5 years after Return of the Jedi. I don't need that. I'm actually people coming at me. I understand that. But this show is also equally here to celebrate the casual viewer. And the casual viewer thinks it's around Return of the Jedi. That is what it should be. They should think. So therefore, she should have old lady Q-tip hair. Not the fierce hair. I love that hair. It looks great on her. But it makes the timeline confusing because it's literally the same haircut we saw her in Andor that takes place 30 years before this. So mm-hmm. it's very confusing. Don't like it. Do you even care?
I care that you care.
Okay.
I mean, she wasn't even technically in it. She was a vision or
a hologram.
Hologram. So it's, you know, she wasn't really there. She's probably not going to get paid for the appearance because
okay, well,
she wasn't
one
there.
Of Mon Mothma's greatest scenes is in Star Wars Rebels where she is just a hologram. But let mm-hmm. me tell you, she will put you in your boots standing straight up.
Excellent.
As she goes off on Saw Gerrera. It's great. Okay. But what this scene did bring that I love was some politics. And it is these, between The Mandalorian and this, it's doing an amazing job of setting up the political landscape post Return of the Jedi after the alleged death of Palpatine, something that the sequel trilogy really ignored, that was quite frankly negligent on Disney's part because politics is and always has been in Star Wars. Maybe not to the same level of it was in the prequels, but it was just completely ignored in the sequel trilogy and it was a travesty. because I was here for the senators not getting along. And clearly, like, the Republic is new. It's fledging. And Hera's line when she was like, when Ziono, the senator, was like, is this just another one of your tricks to go find your friend Ezra? And she's like, no, I'm trying to stop a war from happening, because the entire government doesn't believe there a war will come. They are stupid. Like, they are stupid in this timeline. The Mandalorian is doing a very good job of making the Senate look dumb. But we get a great line from Hera. And did you ever serve in the war, Senator? And he's like, no. So you just sat around, waited to see who would come on top? Boom. Bitch, shut him down. Love it. Here it is. Do you want more politics in Star Wars?
Do I want more politics in Star Wars? You know, I feel like I live with it enough in my daily life. I'd like a little less in Star Wars.
Okay.
It is an election year, you know,
hmm.
And it's been the run up for all last year and this year.
Yep.
You know, we get two quiet years. Of course, we didn't get it this time. It was, yeah.
And, you know, sadly,
Trumpeltine is back.
Trumpeltine.
Get it?
Palpatine.
Palpatine. Trumpeltine.
Okay. You know what line Palpatine says in the prequels that I feel very confident has come out of the lips of that douchebag? And I know you don't love that word.
I don't like that phrase.
Okay, but he is one. So it's appropriate there. I am the Senate. I will make it legal. I feel those kinds of lines have come out of Donald Trump's mouth.
And what's the other famous one you like to quote? From Senator Amidala.
So this is how liberty dies, in thunderous applause. Mm-hmm. I think that will be the future in 5 years, mm-hmm. when Donald Trump, sadly, I feel like he's going. I feel Trumpeltine is going to win. We are going to have to suffer for 4 more years with him. I'm concerned about it. I'm more concerned that we will watch liberty dying with thunderous applause when he says, and convinces everyone, that term limits for a president were 8 consecutive years. And because he didn't win a consecutive election, he doesn't need to leave and he can run again.
Let's work on age limits first. Like, I think you should just check out at a certain age. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, the world has just changed too much at this point in time.
I don't know. I just, anyone but him. Almost at this point. Seriously. I'll give the keys to the country to our son, Jack, before I'd give it to Donald Trump, I think. I was here for the politics. I was also here because we're back on Ahsoka's ship, and I like the whole scene with Sabine drinking tea.
Oh, I don't remember.
And the training session.
Oh, God, we're back to that again. Okay.
No, remember, she was trying to tell her to use the Force, and I think we're getting back to anyone can use the Force.
You know what I liked? I liked that the table came out of the ground.
Yes.
I thought that was an important part. Yeah. I was like, man, that'd be great in the house.
I like that. I think there was rhetoric during the prequels that everyone had to be a Skywalker to be a Jedi, which I didn't love. I think that people didn't like the idea of the Jedi thought, which was the purpose of the thing. But I do like that we're getting back to anyone can be a Jedi. And I think we're doing that with Sabine. TLJ set it up with Rey, and then Rey became a Palpatine. And I don't know.
TLJ?
The Last Jedi.
Oh.
Honey, you're a Star Wars podcaster. You should get this.
I'm a guest speaker.
Okay, anyways, that happened.
Unpaid.
She couldn't get the tea, and boom, Ahsoka's like, I'm the boss, you should be listening. Uh-oh, we got to come out of hyperspace. Something's here. A bunch of planes are about to shoot us. And then Ahsoka was like, you know what? I'm going to listen to my Padawan. And I did like that whole thing with the dogfight, blah, 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 because I feel like in that moment of this episode is Ahsoka starting to embrace more of her Anakin and might just be becoming a better teacher by listening to her Padawan, because Anakin always treated Ahsoka with a lot of respect, and Ahsoka clearly doesn't treat Sabine with any respect.
I wonder if she will after this season.
I hope so. I think so. I think it's coming. But we get something that I want to talk about. The hyperspace ring.
Which was one of my like. Three favorite things.
It's one of you. Okay, great. I agree with you. It's my favorite thing. But I have a question for the listeners. I'll ask you, Tom, but I'm not sure if you're going to have an answer.
Oh, wow. Because
when I see that hyperspace ring, I get totally stoked. And it's from the prequels, the Jedi Starfighters. It was iconic the first time you saw it. And I feel like in this new era of Star Wars, I'm not sure if we're getting anything as iconic as the things that George Lucas brought. And we've had a long time now. We've had like 10 years of Star Wars under Disney. And have we, I can't think of anything, but am I just being a negative anti-Disney Star Wars person at this moment in time? But I, so listeners, I'm going to make this the question, the poll. So if you're listening on Spotify, also Spotify, thank you, because we are getting way more listens from Spotify than we ever did before.
Thank you, Spotify.
And a lot of impressions. Thank you, Spotify. We appreciate it. And it's not even Pride Month. Means even more.
Thank you.
Do you think, what is like the most iconic thing in Star Wars? Give me like three iconic things.
The Death Star.
Okay.
George. The lightsaber.
George.
And I would say Darth Vader.
George. Okay. Yeah. See, nothing from Disney. It's disappointing.
I guess there's that little green baby thing.
Yeah, but why is he iconic?
Because he reminds you of Yoda from George. Oh, yeah.
See, everything keeps going back to him. It's interesting. Okay, but then we're there. And we land on
The red trees are going to be iconic. Well,
there we go.
That was my second favorite thing.
That's your second favorite. And I was here for it. It's a beautiful planet. Mm-hmm. And you know what else was iconic? That actually is not, it's iconic to Star Wars people, but not iconic enough for mainstream. Maybe it will after this. We got to see Star Whales. We got to see our Purrgles. Very excited. They're great. So excited. But they were there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the episode.
Well, it sounds like one I really want to watch.
The other thing you liked?
You know what? I actually forgot. I had three, but you shut me down. So I'm just going to say, seeing Ahsoka hanging on the outside of the ship, but you actually saw her from behind. It's so weird to see somebody from behind. Oh, yes.
And you know what Tom said? Wow. The costume, like, it doesn't look very good. It looks kind of fake. And I was like, honey, she's wearing a little space hat.
And she did do that quick change through the O-ring.
Oh, okay. Yes. So here we go. This is what I want to leave with.
Okay.
And listeners, also let me know, am I just being an anti-Disney person? I do not like the way the show looks. I think it's beautiful. I think it looks expensive. It doesn't look cheap. The set designs are great. I actually like the costuming. It's too colorful. The makeup is great, minus the red lip. But there's too much of a sheen, and I want to bring it, circle it back to Mon Mothma's bad hair. And how she should have bad hair here. I feel aesthetically, this looks more like the prequels than it does the original trilogy, because it's very clean. There's a lot of white and then these weird random super saturated oranges and green that was very rare to see in Star Wars. Maybe a little bit in The Phantom Menace, but again, a prequel. And I feel that it is making it difficult to know the time period. And like, I know we're going to get a flashback to the Clone Wars in later in the season, and there's no visual distinction. And I think there should be a visual distinction. And I think that George Lucas was a vision for person first, and that would have been a very clear goal. And I think the reason the prequels look different than the original trilogy is also to say this is a completely different time period, so I want it to look different. And I have to say, I don't like it. I wish I did. It just needs to be a little grittier. Everything needs to be either more saturated instead of just weird random shades of orange and green that are really saturated.
I definitely see what you're saying. I also agree. I think it's visually very beautiful, but I see what you're saying. Yes.
Like it needs a filter on it somehow, something somewhere.
A filter.
But, you know, we did get to see Ahsoka jumping through space and riding outside of a spaceship in outer space. And that I'm here for that level of camp. It's great. Super duper.
Super duper.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Let me know, listeners. Give me something iconic from Star Wars Disney. And What do we think of the visuals of this show, this series so far? I know it doesn't change, so let's just say the series. Anything else pop up? Anything else that you need to contribute, you want to say?
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, listeners. Thank you for having us in your ear
holes.
Thank
you for listening.
I really appreciate it. We are growing and still, again, not where we were 7 months ago, but we're getting back there really quick. And so thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Spotify, because I don't know what's going on with Spotify, but I'm here for it. I will leave that question in the show notes. And if you aren't listening on Spotify, reach out to us via email at pinkmilk@deathxrobot.com. Nothing at deathxrobot.com yet, but there will be soon.
Soon.
Keep listening for more details. Keep watching on YouTube.
Hu Yang.
No, thank you so much. If you want to follow me and the show on Threads and Instagram, you can do that at DeathXRobot. I joined Twitter again, and I deleted Twitter again because I don't like that he is a transphobe, and I just decided I can no longer support anything that he does.
And Threads is the new it place.
Apparently. So, I don't know. I'm going to try to. It is for me. So find me on Threads,
y'all. You're hanging by Threads.
Oh, Kelly Rowland, I love. Oh. The love. Isaac Mizrahi. Mizrahi. Look at that. Isaac Mizrahi came out of the mouth of Beyonce in the Queen's remix of You Won't Break My Soul. And he hosted a show with Kelly Rowland back in the day where you're hanging by a thread.
What was the name of it? That was funny.
I don't remember, but it's great.
I love her.
Old Bravo. Vintage Bravo.
Vintage.
All right, Thomas. Until next time.
Drink up.
Let's drink up.
Drink up.